live, kicking the onion guy off the air and taking over your radio and internet waves through the tubes. This is Nima Vedati here live in Houston today. Got my whole family here pretty much. Got little boy Knight. Knight, say what's up.
What's up?
Knight, mom.
Knight, do your voice.
The LRN guy?
Yeah. Yep.
What does freedom mean? Tune into LRN.fm to find out.
Knight,
how old are you?
Mom in the house. She's headphone, but not mic.
I'm in seventh grade.
Okay, Nima's doing... All right, I'll let Nima finish his intro. Introduce whole family.
Okay, we got my mom here. She's got headphones, no mic, but I'll hand her the mic if she wants to talk, whenever
like
she
a cipher.
Wants to talk. And Jessica, the wife, she's sitting with a chihuahua in her lap. And she's headphoned but not mic'd too. So the women can hear, but they cannot talk. unless they're spoken to.
Boy, that's wow. Yeah. So
I'm just playing. We are equal opportunity freedom type people.
So. You're into Wormrin's rights?
Wormrin's lib. Yeah. Wormrin's lib.
Lib pair.
Lib pair.
And we're a call-in show, too. So right now, all our audience is headphoned but not mic'd. But if you want to be mic'd, you can just call 307-215-5171. We'll let you talk to us through the internet tubes. And, of course, the most important person of all, Michael W. Dean. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm not the most important person.
I am.
Yeah.
Oh, Knight is.
Knight is. So, Knight, how old are you and what grade are you in?
12, and I'm in seventh grade.
He's the future, man.
You like the fiends, huh?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? What have you been doing at your school with the fiends?
Well, I've been telling my friends about it. And some of my friends have been listening to it.
Yeah.
Good.
What do they
say about it?
Well, I mean, they say you guys are funny and that you guys are entertaining, and plus the stuff you talk about is really interesting, too.
Cool. You know, that's been my experience, too, from people who listen to it. They say, even if they disagree with us, they say, well, you guys are entertaining at the very least. So
yeah.
I think that's how you get your foot in the door, right? That's how you become the earwig in the ear that eats its way to the brain and destroys the statist cancer that is in people's brains.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yep.
Lots of my teachers are statists.
Oh, well, yeah, they're teachers. What do you expect?
Talk about your leadership teacher.
No,
and what
offense,
that is.
Mom. Mom used to be a
my teacher. Leadership teacher. Well, yeah. It's LDC, Leadership Development Course, pretty much kind of like a military program, but, I mean, I don't like military that much.
It's basically like ROTC or JROTC,
ew.
Right?
Ew.
And so my instructor, who I shall not name, well, he was going to vote for Mitt Romney, and I'm like... Why vote for Obamney? Vote for Ron Paul. And he's like, well, I'm not sure I want to go that way.
It sounds like someone said, like, hey, I think you should have sex with men. Well, I'm not ready to go that way.
I don't swing that way. I'm not one of them swing voters.
Yeah. Swing. Swinger voters. So why are you in this class if you don't like it? Is it mandatory?
It's not mandatory. It's just it's way more interesting than PE. I would say, and I'm more involved in it.
Like, well, I think actually, you know, if you wanted to ever work from within the inside to take things down, that would help. Or if you wanted to just understand how the man systematically manipulates people. I mean, that sounds like the class where they make the leaders to manipulate people the way the real leaders want them to manipulate.
Well, I mean, I'm a section leader, so I'm kind of a high rank in there. I control 3 squads. I don't control them. They're not like my people. So,
well, the thing about it is though that it is voluntary, and he could leave anytime. And for some reason, I don't know. I felt this way too when I was Knight's age. I was really interested in military history, military tactics. You know, I was kind of a statist back then, so that's different. But. For some reason, that always interested me when I was his age. I don't know if it's because of video games or movies or what, but it always really intrigued me the way troop movements worked and things like that.
I have two related thoughts here that are going to be like my only thoughts of the day, and then it's all family stuff. One is we were talking on the cast yesterday about how in 50 years when you know, these podcasts are being taught in colleges, in free market, in market colleges when it's lib pair. And the professor will be saying, well, Stone said, and he'll be quoting something intellectual by our great friend Ben Stone, who's always right on, and we're not making fun of him. He's just, he's really logical, really calm, and we're kind of like, you know, he's the classical musician, and we're the punk rock little brothers. But, you know, I said that there'll be two guys in the back of the room when the teacher's saying, well, Stone says, and they'll be going, yeah, well, Vidotti and Dean said, well, F you. And I was thinking about that. Actually, well, F you is in a way more important to some people and to like the end of the beginning of the end of like the real change, the end of the periods, than the deep philosophical concepts. Because you think about it, like the American Revolution, they weren't quoting John Locke at people about, you know, mm-hmm. personal rights. They were going, well, F you. And the other day when I was in the store and there were people buying, you know, 150 ARs and buying every bit of ammo in there, they weren't saying, well, the Second Amendment says, because the government's about to probably just redefine what the Second Amendment means till it means nothing. They were mm-hmm. saying, well, F you, by buying right. all that ammo, right. you know? So right. that's the more important thing in the long run, in a way.
I don't know if it's the more important, but
it's the action item.
It's the action item, yeah, yeah. Well, the philosophy is what you need to have as a foundation, I think, and there are people who it's their function to look into that and to read that and to even turn it into more accessible things like F-U for the average person, because not everybody wants to read Rothbard or read Mrs. or whoever.
I don't. Mrs.
Yeah. Mrs. Yeah. Mises. Not everybody wants to pronounce his name correctly.
Some Mrs. Mises. Some people Mrs. Some want to call him a girl. So the other thing is, here's what I'm thinking. Okay, they're going to come out with something January, February, that's going to be some kind of gun thing, like, well, we want to take your assault rifles, but you're still going to be able to have a pistol in your home and a shotgun in your home, and we're not going to take away your right to self-defense. And I say bullshit. And here's why. The international symbol for gun restriction is that sculpture in front of the UN. It's not an assault rifle with the barrel tied to a knot. Yep. It's a revolver.
Mm-hmm. It's a revolver.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they're going to come
the
after all of them.
The most basic small arm you could think of.
Yeah. The most, I mean, like old-fashioned, antiquated, less right. than 10-round capacity, you know, yep. personal defense item ever. And the interesting thing is that sculpture, it's called the knotted gun, that's in front of the UN, is not the only one of those. The sculptor who made it actually made five of them, and they were distributed all over the world for, like, you know, UN-type places and world leadership places and town squares around Europe mostly. And then there's somebody else who made copies of them too. I sent you one that was blue, that was a smaller one with two cops walking in front of it. And the yep. one that you used in the video, the first scene ever in your Gun for Everyone video, is not the one in front of the UN.
Ah,
it's somewhere else.
Yeah, I thought
it's
looked a little bit different.
Yeah.
It looked, yeah. And it's really important to note that it's not a military weapon, even in the sense of, you know, it's not just because it's not an AR, it's a revolver. But also, it's the people's weapon, you know, because the small arms treaty and all that, it doesn't try to disarm nations' armies or the state's guns. It doesn't try to disarm, as far as I know, militarized or paramilitary police departments.
Right.
It is pointed at you. It is pointed at the average person and taking guns away from the powerless. It's kicking down. It's not addressing the powerful people who use guns for true violence. It's only addressing people who might try to spend their money to get something to defend themselves, you know, at night when they're out working the streets or whatever.
Yep. And I have one last thing is I have a shout out to some true Americans. That's in how we say it.
Americans.
I want to say a shout out to some true Americans. Captain Jack, Captain Hippo, Dude on Couch, Princess Evita, and Ninja Kitty. Yeah.
Ah.
Ninja Kitty. Those
are some great names.
I know.
Good for them.
They're friends that help the fiends.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I don't even... looks like I have another point about them coming for your guns and them trying to say, oh, it's just going to be assault rifles. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. We've got more to that point coming up after we sell some things.
I don't have any guns. I lost my guns in a boating accident.
Boating accident. Yeah. Me yep. too. It was a house fire. We'll be back.
Show some stuff.
Worms.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from Mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
The Bad Quaker staff has discovered how easy it is to get everything you need for the holidays at Amazon. Everything from the coolest decorations to hangover remedies, and everything from the latest movies and music to poop stain remover. If you follow the Amazon link at badquaker.com, Amazon will give badquaker.com a tiny portion of the purchase. It won't cost you any extra, but you will be supporting this podcast. Thank you.
You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.
Like that, during the cast. Yo, right. Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends.
Back.
Do the voice. Do the voice, Knight. Do the voice.
LRN.FM. I repeat, LRN.FM.
I repeat.
Yeah. So, Nima, the government just wants to stick the tip in, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. That's the trick, isn't it? I mean, look back at the tax history, right? So when they sold the income,
you're
tax,
way off the mic. You're like out in the room somewhere, it sounds like.
Not my fault, man. This damn gooseneck is falling down. All right, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened was in 1913, they were like, well, the tax rate's not going to be very high, and I'm looking at the tax numbers now. So, and these are adjusted for inflation. You know, it was actually 0 to 20,000, but in today's money, it'd be from 0 to 450,000. The tax rate was only 1%. Could you imagine only paying 1% income tax if you made up to 450,000?
The top most people tax rate, would do it gladly. They'd be like, yeah, sure, why not?
Right. The top tax rate, the top bracket, was for people making over $11 million of today's money, only 7%. And so it was told to people like it will always be like this.
Basically, the government says to you, hey, baby, let's go for a walk in the park and we'll just hold hands. And then, mm-hmm. you know, within a little while, you're like bound and gagged in their basement being tortured and, you know, all their friends are taking their turn.
Right. Yeah. It's
incremental.
It snowballs, right? I mean, they say the slippery slope. I kind of think we're already at the bottom of most of the slippery slopes in the hill of statism.
Now, all that can happen now is that the snow up on the slope can fall on us in an avalanche.
Right. I guess, though, to play devil's advocate here, some statists or minarchists even might say, well, you know, they did the Brady Bill ban during the 90s, during the Clinton era, and that sunsetted and it went away. So why not trust the government? Maybe they are right. Maybe they will just do.
They're actually saying this will not sunset.
Really?
Yeah. What's her name? Dianne Feinstein is proposing is a renewal of the assault weapons ban with no grandfathering and no sunsetting, which basically means no black scary guns. Nothing with a mag capacity of over 10, and probably
or shoulder thingy that goes up,
and probably something of either, you know, the interesting problem of that is going to be what to do about concealed carry, because that's really left up to the states at this point. But they'd probably try to either eliminate it, or if they couldn't get away with that, have it where, like, you know, you don't go to your sheriff to apply for a concealed carry permit, you go to Eric Holder, you know.
Wow. A federal concealed, yeah. Oh, that would be awful.
And what they probably would do is renew them. You know, like, okay, yours is up. You got to renew it. Come to the FBI. We'll fingerprint you. We'll do a background check, and we'll give you your carry permit. And all that'll mean is they'll have a list of people's doors to kick in. And when they replace all the soldiers in the Middle East with drones, except for a few snipers, and bring the troops home and park them on every corner, you know, and they'll have, they'll have, like, I think they'll have soldiers doing, you know, drunk checkpoints on the way to Walmart, and they'll search your cars for guns. And if you have them, they will keep them and they'll throw you in jail.
Well, I like to be positive and think that, that society's not at the level where we will tolerate that. I tend to believe that a government will only go to the levels of tyranny that they feel they can get away with.
There's going to be massive noncompliance in America. You know, 20% of people will probably turn in their guns, but it won't be like Australia and England where like 99 or 98% will. A lot of people are going to hold on to
this bill that Feinstein is proposing. If it's not, if there's no grandfathering, that would mean that there would have to be some kind of government structure set up for you to turn things in, right? I mean, how are they going to know? Especially with magazines, most modern pistols have a magazine that holds more than 10. What are they going to do about that? Is it for pistols too and handguns?
Well, you can get crippled, like you can get crippled mags for Glocks that hold 10. They basically have like an empty space in the bottom that's filled, so you can't put more than 10 in. And you know, you should probably pick some of those up now just so you have them, because they'll probably be hard to get when you have to have them, and they'll probably be watching closely who has them. But you know, I mean, that, and that's not really appeasement. You know the concept of appeasement.
I know it in foreign policy terms.
Right,
that's what they used to always blame people. They blamed, Neville Chamberlain for appeasing Hitler, and they blamed the World War II on him instead of blaming it on the Treaty of Versailles and Winston Churchill and the horrible peace that was imposed on Germany.
He had something to do with it. I mean, appeasement in its most basic form is making concessions to an enemy to avoid the enemy attacking you. And already it's happening. I mean, like Walmart is not selling Bushmasters anymore. Cheaper Than Dirt, one of the biggest gun part mail order sales ever, is just suspending business, or a large part of their business. A lot of people, the company that makes the Bushmaster is dumping their stock. They're getting out of it, which is probably a good thing, because you don't want a gun hating company making a certain gun that everyone's using, you know, and all the replacement parts for it. But yeah, appeasement. Appeasement's happening. But I don't think it's appeasement to go out and buy a couple 10-round mags right now just to have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got a very bleak outline there, but I still go back to Gary North's conclusion in his article about how the gun lobby is doomed to fail, or the gun control lobby is doomed to fail. Technology is what saves us here. In a decade, and if not one decade, then two decades, 3D printing technology will be advanced enough to where
I'm talking about
you
next
won't need
month,
to buy
man.
Anything.
I'm talking about January, February of the next year.
Well, if they clamp down on us for a year or two – that would just accelerate 3D gun printing technology, wouldn't it?
There's going to be a lot of unintended consequences. Grandma and grandpa are going to start shooting cops, and I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying that's going to happen. You know, people.
Grandma and grandpa?
When the
cops try to come for their guns, is what you're saying?
Yeah, the people that are really the ones to worry about for the state enforcers, I think, are the old people who don't have a lot of time to live, maybe have some heavy health problems. New tax laws are going to be going in next year to where, like, they're not going to be able to pass much of what they own onto their kids. And they're going to have no reason to live. They're Christian. They don't care about being sent home. They're true Americans. They believe in the Second Amendment. They believe that America has been taken over by a communist dictatorship of international bankers or whatever. And, you know, they're going to get pulled over by a cop for a simple traffic stop. They're going to have an illegal gun on them because they know it's the right to do so. And they're going to shoot the cop. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but that's what's going to happen. And that's what cops should be really against this, man, because cops are going to be the on the street enforcers of this, and they're going to suffer for it.
I don't know, man. I kind of don't think that would happen in anything more than one or maybe two isolated instances.
If it happens once or twice, then they're just going to take guns away entirely. They'll say, see?
Yeah, which is why we have to advise strongly against doing something like that.
For a number of reasons, we advise strongly against that. But there's going to be massive noncompliance in America. Most people are not going to turn in their guns. We're not pussies like England. America was formed by people who weren't pussies shooting England to get them the F out of here.
but I think it's really important for freedom fighters across the board to make sure that, that our resistance is nonviolent. Because when you use the tactics of the state, they will bring their full force against anybody.
I'm just saying things will get much worse. I'm just saying predictions. I'm absolutely not giving marching orders. I just want to clarify it
since the SPLC is apparently tracking anarcho-capitalist involuntarists now. you have to make sure you get out in front and clarify these things, because they can take a clip and say, these people are saying that old people should shoot cops. And that's not at all what we're saying, but they'll probably take that clip I just said.
I know.
But we'll have plenty more fiends coming up. Knight, go ahead and send us out with your Bang Brothers voice.
This is LRN.FM.
You gotta say something new, though.
Oh, well, how about, this is the Freedom Fiends tuning out. See you in a little bit.
Oh, good. Good.
All right. Nice.
Word. Let's sell some stuff.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
LRN.FM is back. Studio cam all day, son.
All day, son. I would love to hear the real Bang Brothers guy say son.
Knight. Say this in that voice. If you like drones, you'll love the Freedom Fiends.
If you like drones, you'll love the Freedom Fiends.
You lost the depth and the scratchiness. Try again, Knight.
If you like drones, you'll like the Freedom Fiends.
You'll love us. Why would people just like us?
I don't know. People love me.
They love me. Hey, Nima, did you know that when I try to spell the word bureaucrats, which I've never been able to spell, my spell check in Word says it's wrong and doesn't even, it's not even close enough to suggest the real word. It suggests bear cats.
Which, for those who don't know, are the giant armored vehicles that hold like 8 goons, have their own air atmosphere so they can't be chemically attacked, and have almost 2-inch thick armor that is rated to block 50 caliber bullets.
Yeah, and I think they did a test where you can fire full auto AK at it for 24 hours without penetrating
it. Wow.
What are they expecting? Massive non-compliance.
But every little town has one. You guys got one in Casper, don't you know?
Oh, we've had one here for – I think we had one here before 9/11, man. They bring it out for, you know, whenever they're trying to serve a drug warrant at some no-till motel.
Yeah, they got one in Kennewick, I guess. But, in the Tri-Cities. Town, man. The Tri-Cities altogether are like 200,000, 250,000. So they all shared it because it's basically 3 cities that all cooperate when it comes to gooning it up and doing SWAT raids. So they gave it to Kennewick, but it was pretty much all of theirs. All the different police departments came out and did the photo op. I actually did the photo op story, which is on the tail end of my news career, and I'm like, I don't want to be
Did they let you shoot at it with a full auto AK for 24 hours for the cameras?
I asked them if I could test it with my Nagant, actually. I asked one of the friendlier cops who I had talked to before. Yeah, not on air, not on camera. It wasn't like a reporter question. Just with the camera off, messing with
news footage of you being tased, and I think I'm going to post that. That's an oldie but a goodie. I'll go find that. Nima Vidotti being tased.
I think the actual name is like Taser. Taser. Nima 69 is the
channel. How did that feel, Nima?
I explain it in the video. It felt – getting tased is like unconceivable pain. Like, your brain doesn't even really know how to process it for the first 2 or 3 seconds. You don't really understand what's going on. Once you realize that it's pain, it's the most intense pain you'll ever feel, or I've ever felt. I mean, I've never given birth. I'm not a chick. That's maybe more intense. But once it's over, you get like this rush of endorphins. Like, I could see like adrenaline junkies or people like that, like tasing themselves for fun. Because as soon as the intense pain is over, you get this rush of good euphoric feelings.
Wow. It feels really good. I want one. I want to be tased. When they tase me, I'll just go, give me more, sir. Yeah. And they'll be just baffled and shoot me. Is it NEMA 69 and it's taser, taser, taser?
Yeah. There's actually an old Fiends blog post on the Freedom Fiends blog. I did.
Yeah, so but it's been a while. It's been a while. I put this in the. People are gonna know
it has,
about this.
It has been a while. It has been a while.
It's a bunch of good old Wyoming boys tasing NEMA and NEMA volunteering for it on the news. Yeah. This is the raw footage, though, right? This is in the news piece, or is this the news? Yeah, it's the news piece. They're laughing at you too.
Oh yeah. Well, because I said I dropped the F-bomb. Like, everybody was I was like, okay, guys, I really got to not cuss because I'm not doing 2 takes of this. We're only getting 1 take. So I'm going to try really hard. And as soon as that, like, jammed into my back, I, oh, fuck.
Oh, they did your back?
Yeah. They did my back. The way it works is it's two prongs that shoot out. One hit me, like, directly in my lower back, and one actually hit in my belt. And so it didn't stab me, but it's the electricity still arced through the belt.
You know, gun grabbers say that people who design guns are sick and people that sell guns are sick. And I don't believe that's true at all. But I think that people who their only job is being engineers, electrical, mechanical engineers, designing crap like this to sell only to cops, I think there's something wrong with them.
Well, is there companies that sell only to cops? I mean, Taser is a brand name, and they also sell to the general public.
But they don't the cops get the better ones. You know, we get the 10-round mag versions of them. They get the ones that do this. You cannot go buy what they shot you with legally.
Well, actually, the civilian model, when I did the story back then, I don't know if things have changed. It's been 3 years or something. I haven't looked into it since then. But back then, the cop models actually auto shut off at 5 seconds. That's why cops tase when there's cop abuses with Taser. It's always them tasing people multiple times because it automatically shuts off after 5 seconds. The civilian model, you can't shut it off for 30 seconds. 30 whole seconds.
Interesting. And I sit corrected.
Yeah, the reasoning behind that, because they had a Taser representative there the day that I got tased, and he said that the reason for the civilian model lasting for 30 seconds is, you know, it's going to be a woman with it in her purse.
Alone.
Somebody who's
– with no backup.
Yeah, somebody alone in an alley. You pull the trigger and you run away.
Yeah.
You drop it and you run away. And then
whereas
there's 30
seconds for
you to get
somewhere. Whereas
the
cop using it is going to have other cops there. He's going to have a gun. You know, if you tase somebody and they don't comply and then they charge at you, there's going to be another guy there to shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
Shoot him in the chest.
Pain compliance. Yeah. Yeah. And cops have shot people here in Austin. One of the first news stories I ever did in journalism school, broadcast program at least, was a little 18-year-old Hispanic kid who they were doing some kind of undercover sting operation for a drug sale. 18-year-old kid weighed less than 150 pounds. Got into an altercation with the two undercover cops. I guess one of them was undercover and one was uniformed. And he tried to grab it. They say he tried to grab a Taser. And they shot him in the back for trying to grab his Taser. So you try to grab a cop's Taser and they have been known to shoot you. Which, I mean, I don't know.
A lot of what
I guess something like that is self-defense for the cop. But it's important to remember that the cop was doing something immoral in the first place.
Yeah,
he was trying to throw somebody in a cage for doing a voluntary mark transaction of selling
a
drugs.
A lot of what cops arrest people for, things that are literally crimes that are ancillary crimes, like resisting arrest, fleeing an officer, blocking your face when they're beating you. All those things are just innate self-protection modes, not even self-defense, like self-protection. You know, it's like basically arresting a dog for yelping when you poke it with a nail, which is what they're doing to us, you know? Mm-hmm. Not that I'd ever do that to a dog, but they do that to us.
Did you see the Will Grigg article, an amazing article about it had lots of examples of cops sexually harassing people. Sexually abusing people. Like cops that would rape women or say, hey, you can get out of this if you, you know, go down on me. And they had I don't know if Will Grigg actually interviewed a prosecutor or if this was secondhand information from another story, but there was a case where a reporter, either Will or some other intrepid reporter, cornered a prosecutor on this, and the prosecutor said, well, if you did try to resist a cop who was attempting to rape you, we might prosecute you for, you know, attack on an officer, assault on an officer, resisting. So did you see that government self-defense class up into a little ball and wait till it's over?
Well, have you seen the thing that's going around called cop rapes woman at traffic stop? It's dash cam footage of a lady cop doing a cavity search front and back on two women on the highway recently because she smelled marijuana in the car. That's what it's come to, man.
Yeah, I saw the video. I didn't watch it or look into it at all.
I just posted it in the chat room, and I will post it on the site. Let's get off all this, man. It's Christmas. Let's get off the blood dance.
You want to get off the blood dance?
I don't know.
Let's talk
blood
more
dance.
Tonight, man.
Let's talk more tonight, man. Knight, tell us about your school and what it's like.
Well, like I said, the last cast
let's not talk about tyranny. Tell us about your school, Knight.
well, it's still like prison, though. Maybe a little bit worse because we don't walk in lines, but we're uniformed. Like, we have to wear a polo and khaki pants.
It's public school?
It's public school, and we have to be in uniform.
Why?
Public schools have been uniformed for a while. I think Frank always had to wear a uniform.
Because they say, well, get in gangs, because that's the time when most gangs form. And
what if a gang should form that dresses in the yuppie clothes, preppy clothes they make you dress in?
I think
awesome.
A gang would mainly form in high school. But
what they forget is that they are a gang themselves, right? The state is the bigger gang.
Well, call themselves the murder preppies.
All right, we're khaki
pants.
We'll be
pants.
Back right after we sell some stuff here.
Say it. Say it, Knight.
Let's go sell some stuff. LRN.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for 4 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
If you like tasty beverages, then you'll love the Freedom Fiends. Welcome back.
You gotta wait for the music to fade out a little bit, and then do it again.
No, we can hear fine.
You're doing fine? Yeah. All right. I want to hear it again, though. Go ahead, Knight.
All right. Knight, one more time.
If you like tasty beverages, then you'll love the Freedom Fiends.
That's adorable and amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Knight's... He's all grown up, though. No, how old are you now?
12.
12? Oh, you're not a teenager yet?
Nope.
Oh. He's grown up, though, man. His voice changed. He's tall.
Yeah. His voice is deeper than the last time I heard him.
Yeah.
Especially when he talks like this.
It was also, since we want to stop being so negative, which we've been kind of negative so far and sensationalistic, it's Freedom Fiends, man. A lot of it's about fun, good stuff and freedom fixes. I got a freedom fix. Came into Frank's room last night. Frank,
your brother,
gave my wife his room, which was very generous of him. It was clean. And looking
through
it, What?
Did you do it?
You know,
my
wife
say?
Can hear you.
I know.
My wife can hear you.
I know. She knows what the fiends are about.
Just face.
No, you talk about you and DJ, but I always politely decline.
I would be telling this story like, yeah, my family was so nice. My wife and I showed up and they gave us a room and let us do it for a while and had a yummy dinner waiting for us and some tasty dinner.
Well, you and DJ used to have a sex podcast. My wife's a bit more modest than that, so I respect her modesty.
Tasty dinners.
The fix was that when I came into the room, it was like I was just so proud of Frank. On his wall, he's got targets of some really tight circles, some nice shot shooting. Each of them named for his three guns. I guess he's got four guns, but he's got three.
Back when he had guns before he sold them all to invest in Bitcoin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Destroyed all the family's guns.
Back when he had guns, and he's got one for his Makarov and his Smith & Wesson and his Mosin. And then, it was last night. So since then, he's gotten rid of all the guns. But when I came in last night, he had them all displayed nicely with his ammo, and it was very heartening. And on his car, he's got Cop Block bumper stickers and an LRN bumper sticker. And
cool,
you know. And I feel like I've influenced him, but he's his own person, and he's taken it to his own thing, his own conclusions, and he's done his own thinking, and it's a freedom fix for me that him as a young person has came to sort of the same place. And I know obviously he's my little brother and I've influenced him somewhat, but I mean, it's all him, you know?
Well, you know what is the biggest threat to the state? And this is about the only place I agree with people like, you know, those, who was the guy that was on Fox News that got kicked off? That has a radio show, Glenn Beck.
Judge Napolitano?
Like the only place I agree with Glenn Beck is the fact that the biggest threat to state tyranny is a strong family unit.
Now, why do you say that? Because I've heard that argument before, but I want to know why you agree with Glenn Beck's iteration of it.
It's inseparable. A strong family unit will protect itself in a way that, you know, no criminal gang or bunch of friends or revolutionaries, a family to a lot of people. And I don't have this. My family is my wife, and we're like that. But you know, my nuclear family, I don't have that kind of alignment with. I was kind of like a reptile who was whelped and then crawled away from them and then looks at them from afar occasionally, which is nothing about them. It's just like something that happened, man. I don't know. But yeah, strong family unit. And that's why the federal government and all states around the world try to become your federal family, like to the point of even using the term your federal family for FEMA, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the family. They try to break it up. They take the kids away from the parents by gunpoint, at force, dress them how they want, indoctrinate them how they want. They try to break the family bond. And the family bond is the one thing the state is the most afraid of.
Right, right. Because it's something – well, they're afraid of that. I also believe they are afraid of true religion. I don't think they're afraid of, you know, the way religion has become to where it's all glorifying the troops in the state.
Yeah, they want the state to be the religion.
Exactly.
If you really believe in God, in all religions, one thing they all have in common is God is your ultimate power above all states. And there's actually a verse in the Bible that is misinterpreted a lot, which basically says you should obey all your earthly masters. And a lot of statist,
Romans 13.
Yeah, a lot of statist Christians say, well, the Bible says, you know, render unto Caesar's. And, you know, that might be just about like choosing your battles. But yeah, as Ben Quaker says, you know, if you believe in God, and you're a statist, you're not really believing in God fully because you're kicking God off the throne.
Right, right.
Frank calls me a statist because I have an American flag hanging up in my room.
I had an American flag sort of in my transition period. It's I didn't burn it. I didn't throw it away. It's neatly folded up in a box in the basement. But so is my Don't Tread on Me flag and my Wyoming flag. I just kind of don't like flags anymore. And, you know, flying a black flag in front of my house would raise too many eyebrows.
Well, why do you have the flag up, Knight?
I mean,
if you
my dad
love
sent
free-
it.
If you love freedom, why do you have a flag?
Well, there you go. His dad sent it, so it's a family thing.
Yeah.
I feel that way about things. Like, I sometimes, and I've always had this, I'll have sentimental attachments to things. They may be things that I wouldn't like objectively, or I wouldn't like if, like, my mom had given me, but I attach a certain sentimentality to it.
Hmm.
And that's because I hold my family in such high regard. The state wants you to hold its idols in high regard, and that's why they have a war on the families, because
this
you're right.
Beautiful.
They want to be number one and the only thing. And fiction writers had predicted that this would be a way to descend into totalitarian states for a while. In 1984, kids were taught in 1984, I think the way the family unit works is more like it works now, whereas I think society works in a lot more ways more like Brave New World. But in 1984, you know, the kids were taught to – it was – junior spies, right? You see something, say something, especially with your parents. Like, it was the kids' job to watch their parents and make sure they didn't disobey any of the state edicts and snitch on them if they did.
Yeah, Brave New World and Demolition Man, babies are born in test tubes by the state and raised by the state.
Right. And, you know, what was it? There was – Oh, it was. I think Jim Bovard. And he's been doing a bunch of the Freedom media lately because he's got a new book called Public Policy Hooligan. And he was explaining some of his travels through Eastern Europe when in the communist era, when America was giving them, or the World Bank was giving them, a lot of aid and saying, "See, look at all their economies; they're doing so well." But the numbers were just based on all of the money that the World Bank had flooded them with. So there was no real economic growth. It was just, yeah, their GDP is this, but it was that because of all the World Bank money. And he said that thinking in the West, that these guys were doing so well in Eastern Europe, was so flawed because it allowed the dictators, the communist dictators there, to do some horrible things. For instance, preventing women from having abortions because fetuses were property of the communist state.
Where was this?
I think it was Romania.
Well, Hitler was like that too. You know, he killed Jewish babies, but you were not allowed to be a, you know, good blonde German woman and have an abortion. That was a crime against the state.
Crime against the state, right. And these kind of collectivist nationalist things, you know, a lot of times people can say those kinds of things and get away with it because of this collective mentality of some vague greater good, just completely ignoring any true morality that comes from individualism and the value of a person because they are a human being.
What do you think, Frank?
Frank?
I mean, not Frank. Knight. Sorry.
What
all
do
you,
I think of
all you Vidottis look alike to me?
Well, I'm not Vidotti.
And you don't have a huge beard yet.
Okay, so the question
was, so you're not Persian at all, huh?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
He is Italian from both parents.
Yep.
Gangster. That's gangster.
Yeah. Yeah, his last name is Constantino.
Straight up,
that's a great name. Constantino, man, that sounds like somebody on The Sopranos.
Yeah,
or in, you know, ancient Egypt.
Yeah. Well, my mom's maiden name is DePaul, which was derived from DePaulo, but they made them drop the O because it sounded too foreign.
I was wondering about that. You know, at Ellis Island, did they make people drop it, or did they suggest it, or did people do it on their own?
I don't know.
I kind of wanted to talk about instruments.
Okay, let's talk about instruments. You got 1 minute left.
Oh, well.
Before the break.
Let's talk about guitars.
All right, go ahead, man. I like them. I got one.
I have a Fender, a Squire Mini Fender that I got for free. It is really good.
I have the same guitar, but it's not the mini version, and you can actually get a really raging sound out of that. I used that for all the stuff I did with Nima. And the stuff we're listening to right here. If you want to hear my Fender Squire that I bought for $200 with a tiny amp that I record everything with, you're listening to it right now.
I got mine for free.
On Freedom Fiends.
I only brought a dynamic mic with me. We'll be back soon. We'll talk about
Freedom Fiends. Let's sell some stuff right now.
Worms. When we come back, we'll take some calls.
Yeah, worms.
Yeah. Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
I just couldn't get my fingers to work that way, man.
Some people are meant to play piano, and some people are meant to play guitar. It's just the way the fingers work, man.
Yeah.
And if you like tasty beverages, you'll love the Freedom Fiends.
The greater good wants to know what the Vidotti family eats for Christmas.
Hey, I want to call this episode
the cats.
We're recording, by the way. The family is the biggest threat to the state.
Oh, that's not a bad... Yeah, because
the family is a threat to the state.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Let's go ahead and address that Eats for Christmas. Speaking of family,
cats.
What's on the menu? Do you know, Knight? Has Mom told you?
I think we're eating ham with mashed potatoes and gravy. My dad gets, like, really poopy stuff over in Afghanistan right now.
Really poopy stuff? literally, he gets those turds that those little Afghani kids dig up.
Ew.
that's why the army
They don't dig them up to eat them. They dig them up to burn them for heat.
I know. It was a joke. A bad one at that. But he... So yeah, I guess we usually have a ham at Mom's house. She's also making eggplant parmesan as a vegetarian option.
We're also making pork chops and rice.
I'm having a tasty beverage.
Chops and wife would be.
I'm having a Starbucks double.
No, not like on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I think I said pork chops and wife. Those are my two favorite things.
I'm having a Starbucks double espresso. It's like 6 ounces, and they cost like $3 each in the grocery market. And they're like crack, man.
Nice. But I guess we're not. This isn't the Vidotti family, so that's not what the Vidotti family eats.
Every kid that drinks Starbucks at my school, they're like, "Oh, I'm so much better than you because I have Starbucks."
They let you drink coffee at school?
I'm just a little. Yeah, they let us drink coffee at school, but we have to bring our own.
That's insane. I would think they'd ban you from that because it would make you hard to manage. You wouldn't be silky and manageable like normal.
I don't know why people say like energy drinks give you such an effect. It never has any effect on me.
Well, they don't make you high. Really, but they make you like
getting high is bad.
You know, like Beavis and Butthead when Beavis drinks the coffee and goes.
That was on last night.
Matizzi, Wyoming, Matizzi. I need pee pee for my butthole, Matizzi.
You need pee pee for your butthole. Freudian slip there.
Yeah, I took a pee pee kitty, man. Have you taught Knight the joy of the word pee pee kitty?
No.
That is delicious.
That's a Michael word. Mom's giving me her fudge.
Milk chocolate fudge. It's amazing.
Wow.
I actually flooded the toilet this morning.
Okay, I'm going to stop recording, man. I'm just going to stop recording.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
6 drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vidotti.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
You know, it's 307-215-5171 if you want to call in.
All right. If you want to
It's getting a little out of hand over here.
Come on, man.
Yeah, Michael is playing with his effects, and Knight is playing with his voices.
Yeah,
and, I'm just trying to mic control it. Stay
sane.
Do not
eat the brown acid. Do not eat the brown acid. The brown acid is tainted. Do not eat the brown acid. The brown acid is bad.
Yeah. Christopher Walken.
More cowbell.
Yeah, Christopher Walken was, is that your contribution? Christopher Walken. You just have to say Christopher Walken's name.
More
now.
Sleigh bell.
You get the impression. Bell. I'm just going to say the name.
More sleigh bell.
Oh my God. Okay.
So say your thong line, Knight.
If you like metal thongs, then you'll love the Freedom Fiends.
Metal thongs, man. This is a psychedelic family affair here. Tripping across the miles with the Freedom Fiend. I almost said with the Bad Quaker. Man, these coffees are too strong. I thought I was the Bad Quaker for a minute.
Yeah, but you're not.
So, yeah, the name of this episode is The Family is a Threat to the State. So I would like to have someone call in and tell me some good family stuff about how their family's tight-knit. I can live vicariously through you, and I want to hear about Christmas goodness with families. You can call
another in. Another reason why we want someone to call in is because we're all getting tired of each other's voices.
Nah, that's the secret reason.
Wow.
You don't say that
that's
on
harsh.
Radio. That's, yeah. I think we have to give him he gets a 1 minute timeout for that.
Okay, I'll time myself.
I'm going to take me a gold star.
And
then
start screeching, start screeching after 60 seconds. So the call-in number is 3. The call-in number is, wait. The call-in number is 307-215-5171. That's 307-215-5171. Going all the way back to 1986. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was actually a radio song on the radio.
Hey, has it been 60 seconds?
There was
seconds?
A radio song on the radio.
Has
wow.
it been? I don't think it's been 60 seconds. You got to start over. You got
to
start over.
I'm trying
over,
to sound stupid, Nemo.
Okay, okay. I think we've had too much eggnog, all of us.
Are you guys drunk? Knight's
no.
not drunk.
Yes.
Knight is yeah. not drunk. Knight, do you drink? Well, how early do kids start these days?
He probably thinks drinking square.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Again. Yeah. So, all right. Hunger Games, man. I finally saw Hunger Games. DJ and I saw it and friggin' loved it.
And, oh, yeah. I think we already talked about that on a previous cast, though.
I wasn't sure if it was you or the Ben Quaker cast, but I'll just go back to call myself Squirrel Master. Did you see any of the like 40 movies I recommended to you recently? Like Uprising?
No, man.
Knight should watch Uprising.
I have not had time. Like you're like, hey, finish this music video. so I had to create video.
I push you, man. I push you. Watch it. I do. And like you're on vacation and you've been working more than you generally do because I've been pushing you to make. I was treating when you were editing that video the other night for the last day or so. You're working on the song in the video. I was treating you like my employee, and I apologize, but I was like, Nima, you got my video yet? Like, it's your video. I just, you know, helped out a little bit with it, but I was so psyched to pimp it, and it's got 1600 views now for 24 hours. That's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
It's a good start. Good.
So Link Porterfield or Link P in the chat room says he enjoyed the Hunger Games books, still hasn't seen the movie. I would say the movie is good, but it's nowhere near as good as the books. And I've said this before. If you really want to get a sense of her internal dialogue, which is to me what really sets the tone of the books, is how she felt about everything.
DJ said that was left out in the movie, but totally the books are really short too. You know, I don't. It's kind of surprising to me they had to cut a lot for the movie, because usually that's when they have a 900-page book and they're making a 90-minute movie out of it, and they're like 180-page. You know, they're tiny books you can read in a day.
Yeah. I think literally in less than a week, I had read the whole series.
Well, that's you. DJ reads books like that in one sitting. I mean, she reads, she falls asleep with a cat on her face, and then she wakes up and reads the rest of it.
Yeah. My wife's like that, too. I don't know what it is about wives.
What is about wives? They do it so they don't have to listen to us talk, I think, because we're always talking about the government's going to take our guns away. No. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Guns.
If you like guns, you'll like the Freedom Fiends.
But if you like guns, then you'll love the Freedom Fiends.
Oh, you will. Speaking of families, though, families are so much – they give us so much more than the state. And the things they give us come from their heart. Well, my family and my extended family.
I was like the thing on Metapocalypse – families is the peoples that you hate.
Well, I just wanted to say my mother-in-law gave me some of the most thoughtful gifts I've gotten from, you know, anybody outside of my immediate family.
What'd you get from me and DJ?
Ever. Oh, you and DJ got me a great gift too. You got me shotgun shell Christmas lights, which I unfortunately didn't open until after the music video was done, because they would have gone great.
It's for you and Jessica. It's for you and Jessica.
Does mom want to get on the mic?
And Jessica,
I think Jessica should get on the mic. I have spoken to your wife like twice in my life over the phone, like, you know, for 30 seconds one time when before you were married, and then like for a minute the other day when you disappeared and I thought you'd been droned and I was trying to find you.
Yeah. She is shaking her head, but I will speak through her vicariously here. Yes, she had a really great thought that I thought was pod-worthy last night. She got a thing, because we spent that summer going to different national parks and, you know, trouncing about the desert in the Southwest and having a great time. And she got this letter in the mail from some national park foundation asking for a donation. And she said at first she thought, oh, well, you know, maybe I could donate and, you know, that'll help the national park, and then they won't be getting the money ill-gotten through the government. It'll be getting the money through donations. And then she paused and was like, wait, no, it can't work that simply. It can't be that simple of an economic transaction. I bet it's a lobbying group and they take the money and go to Washington and ask for more laws and more funding.
Let mom get on the mic.
I have a good quote about radio while you get mom for the mic. It's attributed to Albert Einstein, but it's not sure if no one knows if he actually said this, but someone asked him to explain what radio is, and he said, you see, wire telegraph is kind of a very, very long cat. You pull his tail in New York and his head is meowing in Los Angeles. And radio operates exactly the same way. You send signals here, they receive them there. The only difference is there is no cat. And I think with podcatting, we've brought the cat back to the telegraph. And it's okay, going out on radio.
It's podcatting.
Yeah, yeah, podcatting.
Great, great.
You got your mom?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Mom's there.
Hey, Mom.
Ooh, I sound good on this.
Have we ever done one with you in the same room?
No.
No?
Sounds a lot better than when you call in. I like it.
I know. I have a good voice.
You do. So why is the family more important than the government?
Oh my gosh, they're everything. I mean, who else is going to be there for you when things get tough? You can always count on family.
Well, you know, FEMA tells you that you should have 3 days worth of food spared, and people who aren't FEMA tell you you should have like 9 months worth of food saved.
2 years, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that FEMA wants you to have 3 days worth so you'll stay alive long enough for them to come along and round you up.
Oh, yeah.
And protect you as your federal family, because they know best.
Well, Mom has some firsthand knowledge. You were in Hurricane Rita and saw FEMA try to help people. How did that go?
Tell us about FEMA helping people. We're from the government, and we're here to help.
Well, actually, what they did was they set up all these pods.
Pods.
Where people could go get food, ice, things like that. And, except for my neighborhood, okay? Which was interesting. And so I called Ron Paul, because I'm in his district, and I let him know what was going on.
Did you get him personally or his secretary?
His secretary. But it was like the next day we did get our pod. And then But before that night, they came through our neighborhood and was passing out MREs?
MREs.
Yeah, and I said, oh, by the way, where's Chertoff? You know, I thought he was going to come. You know, where is he? They just looked at me like,
he was too busy designing
hell?
His porn scanners, Mom.
All right. We'll be back with more from the Freedom Fiends families.
The jump.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl.
check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Freedom Fiends Radio. Click on the blue listen link at freedomfiends.com, streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
All right. We are back on Freedom Fiends Live, the Freedom Fiends Sunday show. I guess we can call today's show the Freedom Fiends Family Show.
The Freedom Fiends
Just
Family
live.
Hour.
It doesn't have
Freedom
title, but
the Freedom Fiends Family Hour. Okay, family Knight, go family. Ahead, do it.
If you like microphones, cats, and liberty, you'll love the Freedom Fiends.
Yay!
I think you need to record him with a good mic, you know, like without the background, doing okay. that sometime. That's funny.
Okay,
that's yeah. my favorite one.
Could do that.
Now it's time to put Lisa Bowles back on the mic.
All right, Lisa Bowles, coming all the way back to the 60s with Lisa
Hello,
Bowles.
Hello, I'm back.
Do you remember the 60s?
Yes, I do.
You know, I have a saying, I remember when sex was safe and music was dangerous.
That's true, and it's turned around, hasn't it?
Yeah, you're the only person in the room besides me who remembers when sex was safe and music was dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah,
Nima might have had a year of sex was safe. Maybe not. I don't know. We don't want to say you don't want to know about that.
No, I don't. I don't know about that.
You don't want to know about that.
Mom doesn't know about that.
So Nima
doesn't know about that. Yeah.
Ask your mom some good questions. You know what to ask her. I don't.
Well, during the Hurricane Rita thing,
it was Hurricane Ike, by the way.
Oh, Hurricane Ike. Okay. Hurricane Ike.
Ike beats his woman until he's satisfied.
That's right.
Yeah. What was more helpful than FEMA? Because from what you've told me, FEMA didn't really do a whole lot to help. I mean, yeah,
Nima, get on the mic. I can't hear you.
I'm on the mic, man. Okay. Can you hear me?
There you go.
All right. Why don't you just do the cast with Mom and Knight?
Okay.
Let me tell you something about the hurricane, and maybe it was my little neighborhood, but we didn't sit around waiting. We had debris that we needed to clean up. My husband got out his saw, and we cleared the roads, and we piled up all the debris in one section. We didn't have to wait for anyone to come clean it up. We did it ourselves, and we had almost like block parties and cooked the food that oil, so we had big feast for days, and you know, it was just a camaraderie and a community.
Nice.
The kids remember it as being kind of fun.
Knight was bleeding into the mic. Knight doesn't know he's bleeding into the mic.
Oh, careful, Knight.
Yeah, that's good stuff. You know, some places I've heard that when locals try to do things like that, FEMA actually like will arrest them. Do you have any problems with FEMA, or they just weren't even there? Huh.
They kind of stayed out of our neighborhood and you know, for the most part. Also, there were people who had their guns and had them on them because there were looters coming in different neighborhoods and taking people's stuff.
So there were people open carrying who wouldn't normally open carry?
Right, right. Nice. And I also, when we evacuated during Rita, I was grading my school papers and had my gun right next to me, but I had to have the doors open because it was so hot. You know, you had to have air coming in. So I had the doors open, but I had my gun right next to me as I was grading papers that needed to be graded.
That's a good question I have for you. There's actually some tiny district in Texas that recently is the first place in the country to pass a law that allows teachers who have a concealed carry permit to conceal carry in the class. How do you feel about that?
I think it's great. I think it's a good idea. I know that if I would have been in that type of situation, I would not hesitate to protect my children. That's what I considered them was they were my kids. And so
yeah,
I would do anything to protect them.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi wants to put National Guardsmen in every school. Do you think that's a better idea?
No. No.
That's a jobs program, and that's tyranny, man.
Well, it just adds to the fear, I think, and kids thinking that only the National Guard can protect them.
Yeah.
You know, kids need to feel safe in their classroom, and knowing that their teacher can protect them, I think, you know, alleviates that fear. And if you have fear, you can't learn. That's just automatic.
The National Guard went door to door confiscating weapons during Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Has that happened in Texas?
No, it didn't happen here.
How do you think that a national disarmament attempt would be received in Texas?
Not good.
What do you think the compliance rate? What percentage of Texans would turn in all their guns?
Oh, gosh. I would imagine 20%, maybe.
That high?
Yeah, just because people just don't. They don't understand the ramifications.
Yeah, some people own guns who don't know why they own guns. I mean, you know, they have a gun because grandpa had it and they inherited it. Or, you know, they have a gun, but they're not really gun people.
Right.
Yeah, probably 20%.
And the thing that gets left out of the argument is, you know, if you're disarmed as a populace, you're more at risk for horrible tyranny, you know, where they can gather you up and kill you.
Yeah.
You're defenseless.
And not even government tyranny, but, you know, gang, criminal, non-government gang tyranny. I mean, when in Australia, they disarmed everybody and gun crime went up, you know, gun crime of like home invasions went up and people were helpless. They just have to sit there and hope that people don't kill them.
If you know that, you know, homes don't have weapons inside, you're more apt to break in.
Home invasions are incredibly rare in Wyoming. And when they do happen, it's generally one drug dealer robbing another drug dealer because that drug dealer ripped him off. I mean, the home invasion against strangers here is almost non-existent. And it's pretty common in Los Angeles. We got a caller.
Fiend phone.
Hello, Fiend. You're on the air. Who is this?
It's John from New York.
Hey, John. How's things going there? Is this John that I know?
No, probably not.
Oh. What's up, man?
Good. I just finished cleaning my rifle. Came back from the range today.
Cool. What end of New York are you in? I'm from upstate New York myself. Westfield, Chautauqua, and Jamestown.
Rochester.
Yeah. Yeah. New York's a weird place because it's like the whole state is kind of rural and red statey, and then there's New York City, which has more influence on the whole state.
That's pretty much how it is here.
Politically. That's how Illinois is, too. Like, Illinois is a bunch of gun-loving, you know, rural people, and then Chicago. And then Chicago determines the whole state.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that just want New York City to be its own state and leave us alone.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't have you to steal taxes from.
That's true.
So what do you want to talk about today?
I just wanted it's the first time I've called in. I've been listening to you guys for a while, so I figured it was probably about time I called in.
How'd you find The Fiends?
Your Guns and Weed movie.
How'd you find that?
Just trolling through YouTube, and then I saw it, and I thought it was a joke at first. And then I watched the whole thing, and I was like, oh, man, this is so awesome, and it was a little bit after that I started to get influenced by people like Stefan Molyneux to finally become anarchist.
Stefan Molyneux is on our Santa's nice list in our new video, A Gun for Everyone.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yep. Well, cool. We're going into a little selling segment here, but we can keep you on and record you over the break if you'd like for the archives. You want to stay on?
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
Cool. Hey, Knight, take us out here, Knight.
This is LRN.FM.
Get on the mic, Knight. Get on the mic, Knight. Go ahead.
This is LRN.FM. Tuning out. Let's sell some stuff.
Okay. All right,
yeah. Freedom Fiends.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Admit it. You hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are statists anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
So, John, tell us something good about liberty in your life.
Well, thankfully, I've started to. I come from a somewhat statist family, so I've been slowly trying to convert people. And I like your analogy of being an anarchist is like being a fundamentalist Christian. And my dad is one, so I get both. So I'm the fundamentalist on one side, and he gets to be the fundamentalist on the other side.
Well, you can work out a deal with him of I'll listen to 10 minutes of Bible talk if you listen to 10 minutes of Liberty talk.
That's a good idea. I should try that.
That's what I do when Mormons come to my door. I'm like, you can come in and talk to me for a half hour about my mortal soul, and then if first I can talk to you for a half hour about my opinions. They always say, no thanks, and leave me some literature and go away.
My favorite thing to do is annoy my professors at college with anarchist questions that they can't answer.
Oh, give me a question. Give me an example of a question you've given them and what they answered.
Well, it was a law class I was taking, and so it was very interesting to take a law class and be an anarchist. But my one, we were talking about basically not specifically the social contract, but basically the social contract and saying that, oh, well, you know, because you're born or it's the Constitution and you have to follow this because you were here. And I chimed up and I said, well, I didn't sign it. And people just started immediately, the other people who are very much statist in the room just chimed, well, you know, they give you things because you pay taxes, so it's okay because they give you stuff after they steal your money.
They didn't say steal your money, did they?
No, they didn't say steal your money. That's what I heard.
Tell me exactly what they said, not what was in your head, but exactly what they said, exactly what you said, exactly what they said, exactly what you said. I'm really curious about that.
It was mostly that after a while I just gave up because like I'm not going to deal with you people. But I said something and someone in the room chimed up and said, well, you know, you get all the benefits of living in the country, and you get all the fire department.
Hey, hang on a sec. Is your radio on?
Mine?
Is
no.
Your computer on? Nima, is anyone no. on? Anyone on the Nima end there?
Hang on.
Somebody has their headphones on, and it's all leaking back in. We're getting total feedback. All right.
Oh, so it is.
Turn the feed off.
Yep. Okay, go ahead, John.
So mainly I just said, well, you know, I didn't have time, and I wish I did to kind of go off on a philosophical rant of how, you know, it's not voluntary if you're forcing me to pay for it, and how is the fact that I'm born some kind of me agreeing to a contract that I've never seen before?
Yeah. Check out the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night. The Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's kittyfeet.com.
Yo, this is the Freedom Fiends with Mr. Michael Dean. Do we have Nima Vidati on there? Nima?
No, he's right here. He's sitting next to me.
All right. Hey, Lisa. We got Lisa, hey. John, Knight, Nima, Jessica. Boy, we got the whole family here and John on the phone. So go ahead, Knight. What do you got to say, Knight?
If you like annoying status in your classroom, you'll love the Freedom Fiends.
Worms. And on the line, we got John. John goes to college in upstate New York, back where I'm from, and he was talking about annoying statists in his class. So tell us some more about what you said and what they said, John.
Well, more of other things that have happened is I've had to explain a lot of, especially in the law class, talking about gun laws and people that try and talk about things that they have absolutely no conception of. And yet they try and make some kind of like, oh, well, it's okay to do this or that because, oh, that seems reasonable, but I have no idea what I'm actually talking about.
In your law class, do they teach the difference between mala in se and mala prohibita?
No, we didn't get that specific. It was just a general law class.
That used to be
general ed requirement.
That my wife went to paralegal school, and I know a bunch of lawyers and people who've been in pre-law, and they all say that generally it used to be that the first thing they teach you the first day in any kind of law program or law class is the difference between mala prohibitum and mala in se. You know, mala, things that are illegal because they should be, like murder, theft, rape, fraud, aggression, and things that are illegal because the government says, like having your fence 7 feet tall instead of 6 feet tall, or having 11 bullets in your magazine instead of 10. They don't teach you that there?
Yeah, well, I have to deal with that too.
Yeah, it's New York. Of all these people that you've annoyed by telling them the truth, is there anyone who's given you any inkling that they get it and want to know more?
A few people, but strangely enough, you'll find this funny. The one kid that did, his dad is one of the head directors of the ATF in Buffalo, New York, which I thought was very ironic.
I know, you know, I think
there are some people.
Did you turn him on to the Fiends?
I tried, but a lot of people just don't really care.
Okay. Well, it's probably good to not have the son of the ATF regional director listening to the Fiends. His dad might come in and say, what did they just say? Who is that?
You know what else I wonder, John, is I recently watched like a HuffPo live debate, I think, and Lou Rockwell was actually one of the guests, but then there was like three other statists.
No, three and, statists. Lou Rockwell, not other statists, statists. Lou Rockwell's not a statist.
Yes. There were three statists, three other people who were statists.
Three statists ganging up on a Liberty guy.
Right. Well, actually, he was taking them to task, and it was great to watch. But the point that was the setup. The actual point is they all seem to have this Hobbesian worldview, and that was the only way they had any kind of argument or tried to make an argument against Lou Rockwell was they said, oh, well, you know, they dismissed it out of hand by saying, well, we can't have a Hobbesian state of anarchy where it's just everybody fighting against everybody else. And I feel like why – because they sort of base their whole premise and their whole worldview on this idea that we would be in a state of everybody murdering each other constantly in some kind of Hobbesian thing. Do you notice that where you're at, John? Do people sort of feel that way? And if so, can somebody enlighten me as to why Hobbes gets so much credit? I mean, he wrote a really bad book centuries ago. I don't know why that we base our whole world around this guy.
Yeah, I mean, at my school, it's kind of like two dichotomies. There's either the traditional, like, kind of redneck, I wear camo kind of guys, which are mostly my friends, and then the super liberal people.
Well, that's why we made the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, to try to unite and enlighten both of those sides. So you can, you know, the one side are weed people and the other side are gun people, although in upstate New York, the gun people are probably weed people too, but still think they need to vote for Romney.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had a lot of that, and I had a lot of arguments with family members about why I didn't vote, and they were not happy about
people
that.
People are—they think you're insane if you don't vote. I mean, a lot of family members would rather— You know, like my dad, when I basically, when I came out to him as a non-voter, he's very homophobic. If I'd come out to him as homosexual, he probably would have been less saddened and shocked than when I came down to him, when I came out to him as a non-voter, when he was here visiting me recently, he was shocked and saddened. It was very bizarre. And he voted for Ron Paul, which is pretty cool for a 91-year-old former Nixon voter, NRA member from upstate New York. But, you know, he thought that the fact that I didn't vote was just insane.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to explain it to him, but he's also a Christian Sharia kind of guy, so it's kind of tough. We have a lot. We go back and forth all the time, but it doesn't usually go anywhere.
I still want John to answer my question, though. Do people in your law school have a Hobbesian worldview, and do they attribute it to Thomas Hobbes? And
I'm not in a law school. It was just a law class I took.
Oh, a law class. Okay.
Which in a public, yeah. in most colleges, a law class is probably a why you should obey every law class. Is that true?
It was kind of like pretty much all the kids except me and like two other people planned on going to law school. And I tried, I was like, oh my God, I am so glad I don't want to be a lawyer. I feel so bad for these people.
Yeah, I would.
Because of all the schooling and all that stuff.
Lawyers get a lot of bad press, but actually, and my wife's a paralegal and points this out, that in some ways, defense attorneys are the last line in the sand for protecting the Constitution, and some of them do, and they fight for it, and good for them. But an experience I've also had is that a lot of attorneys tend to be very, very statist. I mean, they will defend a free speech case or defend, you know, they'll sort of defend the Constitution. But I actually go to some law seminars sometimes along with some other people and sit in the room and just listen. And when they were trying to pass concealed carry without a permit in Wyoming, which they did this past year. You can literally carry a gun without a permit in the state now, concealed. And we're the fourth state to have that. It's Vermont, Arizona, Alaska, and now Wyoming. I sat and heard a couple attorneys at a dinner discussing that, and just their attitude on it might as well have been, you know, someone's trying to pass a law that allows you to have sex with babies. I mean, they were that appalled by the idea of it. And the law passed, and it's been 6 months, and crime didn't go up, and you know, it changed nothing. And they were really worried there was going to be blood in the streets. And this is in literally the Wild West. I mean, Wyoming is a giant state with 500,000 people in it. Most of the state is cows and forest and empty grasslands. And it still kind of is the Wild West, to the point where the town we were in, Cody, Wyoming, having this seminar, they literally have reenactments of Wild West shootouts at noon, 1, 2, and 3 all summer long in the city streets.
Yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. If you ever go to Wyoming, go to the Cody Gun Museum in Cody, Wyoming. It's the largest publicly accessible collection of firearms in the world, and it's definitely worth
it. I remember you talked about that, and I see pictures. And so I want to do, after I graduate in about a year, I want to travel around and get out of New York, hopefully.
Excellent. Well, we're going to you got any closing statements, closing arguments here? Because we're going to talk more to Nima's family. It's a rare occasion that we get them all together here. But it's been great having you on, John. You should call back anytime.
I will. I just want to say, if there's anybody else out there that's a college student and an anarchist and you feel alone, you're not alone.
All right. Send me an encrypted email. We have directions on how to do that on the Freedom Fiends. And maybe there's some other people in New York I could introduce you to who are nonviolent people who believe there should be no government. I know some.
That sounds good.
All right, man. Take care.
Worm. You too, Michael.
Worms.
Bye-bye.
All right. And that was John calling from upstate New York, my old stomping grounds. So, Nima, who we got on the mic now?
Nima? We got you.
Okay, apparently. All right.
And
take us out, Knight, for this break.
Can't hear you. He's not mic'd. He went to the potty.
Potty? Is that what you say when someone's under 18? It's the potty?
It's the potty.
He went to go tinkle.
That's when they're under 8.
Mom still says it.
I say pee-pee kitty. I gotta take a pee-pee kitty.
Worms. Okay. Well, we're gonna go do that. We'll be back.
Okay.
Did your world collapse when Ron Paul didn't win? Don't keep hoping for some great man to fix government through government. Complete your evolution today to full-on anarcho-capitalist. Reward your brain with the freedom fiends and quit breaking your heart with some politician. While the libertarians argue,
but who would build the roads?
The freedom fiends have already built the roads and moved on to making the great media content of the libertarian paradise. Freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
I'm way ahead of you. I was already giving us the we're back spiel. Yeah. You're late. You're late to the game. I was saying we should keep it positive for the last segment here.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, who's that?
That is DJ, I think.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends.
Wow. Yeah. Hi, DJ. How are you doing today?
Hello. I'm good. How are you all?
Good.
We are good.
We got the whole fam here. I guess Michael felt he had to throw you in so he could guilt me into putting my wife on the mic too, right?
I don't know. He just said that everybody was on and I had to say hello.
Tell us she has a beautiful voice.
My mom says you have a beautiful voice.
Oh,
that's a radio voice.
Well, at one time I thought it was going to be, but that's not how the world worked.
Well, you're the voice of the fiends, which is more fun anyway, right?
Absolutely.
More cooler.
Absolutely.
Yes, more cooler, as Knight says.
All that radio stuff is square.
Yeah. Well, you know, it would have just been state speak, and that would have been offensive. So.
Yes, state speech is hate speech.
That's it.
Some of us have had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah, well, you know.
It is what it is, but how is your Christmas going? Have you gotten to talk to your family?
I haven't talked to my folks, but then they rarely speak on the phone. We exchange emails, but my son got married last week, and so I have been speaking to him. So
I had forgotten about that, yeah.
Yeah. So
are you happy for him? Is that a big congratulations?
I am thrilled. Unfortunately, I have not met Angela, so I'm waiting anxiously for when that happens, but with him stationed in Alaska, you know, chances that they're going to get by here soon probably isn't going to happen, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, you guys could always take a trip, road trip, right?
I would, you know, Alaska being one of the few places that I would really be excited to go. Yeah, yeah. I would definitely go.
My wife actually spent most of her younger years in Alaska because her dad was stationed on a Air Force base up there. Oh. Yeah, she has fond memories, and we'd love to go back sometime and see the nature and all the beautifulness of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
although she did not enjoy the public school forcing her to cross country ski, that's one of her early painful memories. Because there's nothothing good about cross-country skiing. It's too much work, and you don't get any excitement.
Oh, now see, it's always appealed to me much more than downhill.
Really?
Yeah,
why?
I've never done either, but I am, at one point in life, was an avid hiker. And so...
You should love the hills then, right?
yes, but it's, you know, you're too worried going straight down to, you know, look around, although... Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not a fan of heights, so I don't know how I'd feel about the chairlift.
That'll do it. Yeah. So, I didn't even think about that for Jessica. She's not a big fan of heights either. And at some points on the chairlift, especially like when you're near the top of the mountain, like when you get above 10,000 feet, and the lift itself is on a pole that's like 40, 50 feet high, it can get a little nerve-wracking, I imagine.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like my idea of a good time, but
I've always been into it though. My dad took me to ski school when I was like a little kid, like 10 or something, and I had a blast with it.
Ever since
then, I've loved it. I switched from skiing to snowboarding when I was like 13, and learned my lesson really quick that first day because I had worn jeans because I was used to skiing, and I never fell down because I was good. And so I was like, well, I'll wear jeans when I snowboard and I'll be fine. It wasn't so much a problem with falling down, but when you snowboard, when you rest, you sit down on your butt. And so snow would melt from the heat of my bottom. And the jeans actually soaked up all the wetness. And then I would get up and snowboard and they froze.
See, what I learned about camping was that cotton kills and wool is warmth. And so back in the days before there were great technical fibers, but
never been camping.
You've never been camping, Knight?
Nope.
Oh, camping is wonderful. I used to do it by myself when I was raising the kids alone. It was like, okay, I need a week in the woods alone.
Right. What's your favorite part about camping?
Sitting around the campfire first thing in the morning when everyone else is asleep.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The solitude, then.
Yeah, yeah. Solitude. Okay. Well, my favorite camping story is from going to Sequoia one late spring and going alone, and got up to walk through the trees in one of the areas that was more populated so I could see it without all the humans. And actually seeing a sequoia fall. It was
really
the most earth-shattering experiences of my life.
Like, literally?
Yeah, yeah. And I was probably 50 feet from the tree when it fell. Wow. You know, and there was no other humans around, but I was right near a parking lot. It was one of those very popular places. And, you know, I was standing there with tears running down my eyes, just in shock and awe when a ranger arrived and said, "Did you see that?" I said, "Uh-huh." And it was just amazing.
Wow. Wow. So, was this before the days of smartphones with video cameras and all that?
Oh, yeah. I probably would not have taken that stuff with me anyway. I'm somewhat of a Luddite, but technology.
Which is why you sit at home and read paper books instead of on a
exactly,
Kindle.
Exactly.
Okay.
How often is Michael on the computer?
24/7, from what I remember.
Yeah, constantly. he does sleep every now and then, and normally to eat, he leaves the computer.
But, does he say sleep is for square people? Does he say that sometimes?
Sometimes. I think I've heard him say sleep is for squares.
Sleep is first. I can sleep when I'm dead.
Yeah,
that kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good thing you were around to see that redwood fall or that sequoia fall. Otherwise, it wouldn't have made a sound.
Well, no, I think it would have. It set off car alarms and broke some windows.
I know. It was a bad attempt at a joke. Well, I'm surprised you and Michael don't go camping then, because you guys live in a perfect place for it.
It's not a Michael thing.
It's not.
There's
no
famous
internet. Yeah. I remember that when me and the wife were camping pretty much as a living during the summertime, and I'd be like, I haven't even seen the internet in 2 weeks, and he would be like shocked.
He'd start twitching just thinking about it.
But, like, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? And I'm like, no, man. I heard about me going to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. He's like, oh, I don't know how you do it.
You know, that's one thing I've always wanted to do, and I was very envious of the two of you doing that. But
I would highly advise it, but my advice would be plan to spend a whole day at the bottom. Because we went to the bottom and literally slept the deepest sleep any of us has ever slept, because we were so exhausted. And then as soon as we woke up, we had to, you know, at 4 a.m, get back going to the top. And we didn't really get to enjoy the bottom too much.
I think I would probably be inclined to take the burros, frankly, which is...
The burros? Into the Grand Canyon either.
Yeah.
Burros. Horses, I thought you meant like some kind of great underground tunnel system.
Yes, they just drop you down. You
know? Right. But,
no.
Yeah, the donkeys looked pretty cool.
Transportation. So.
Yeah, yeah, and when you go with the donkeys, I guess you have a tour guide who gets to give you sort of the little insider's take on, whatever goes on. But the donkeys, they were really expensive, weren't they? They're like almost $1,000 a piece now to take them to the bottom.
Wow. Yeah, that was something my folks always said we were going to do, and we never quite did that. We did a lot of camping as a kid, but
not that.
I think my dad's not really a big fan of trusting himself to something with four legs that he can't really communicate with. So.
Right, right. Well, they're well trained, and they do it all day, every day. Those burrows.
You can just kind of, all you have to do is sit back and not make it difficult for them.
It's like a slow train ride to the bottom of the canyon.
Yeah, see, that suits me. Another thing I do want to take Michael on that is a great nature event is the narrow gauge railway between Durango and Silverton, Colorado. Oh, but I hear the music coming up. That must mean
it's time to sell some stuff.
Actually, it's time for our end, but I'm glad we had a nice, relaxing
Merry
end
creature.
With DJ's soothing voice. And no tyranny and nothing but beautiful talk about nature. Thank you so much, DJ.
Thank you, Nima. You all have a merry, merry Christmas.
You too. You too.
Merry Christmas.
All right,
from
Freedom Fiends.
Hi, peace. I'm Derek J. I don't want a politician to represent me.
All right. Michael, do you want a post game on the other server?
That one group of people can coerce everyone to comply with an edict.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends, helping the helpless.
Stop in the cops on the block for the fiends on the block. Ain't never gonna stop in a Glasgow blow.